Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. It's good to be together to worship the Lord. Also remembering that in a way this is a special service. Some of you will be members of Baldivis, I understand, after this worship service. And it's something special to thank the Lord for. Let's lift up our hearts to the Lord. And let's confess together, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And he greets us, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Shall we worship the Lord this afternoon by singing Psalm 8, verse 1, 2, and 3, and afterwards remain standing for professing our faith with the words of hymn 1. And sisters, let's draw near to God in prayer and ask him to bless our worship service. Merciful God, gracious Father in heaven, We draw near to you on the afternoon of this day. We come to you as your children, your redeemed congregation, redeemed by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we stand in awe of you because you have mercy on us, even while we are poor, wretched sinners. We stand in awe of you because you come to us with the gospel of salvation and life. Dear Father, this afternoon again, we want to focus our attention on what it really means to confess that you are our Father and that you created the heavens and the earth. We have absolutely no difficulty saying this, Father. Indeed, as a rule, we sing it almost every week. But nevertheless, when things in our lives do not go the way we want, when we struggle with questions that concern our faith, or when we have painful issues to deal with in our lives, sometimes we find it very difficult to know where and how you fit in. That happens because we want it to be different, Father. It happens when we are convinced that you would also want it to be different from what it is. There are so many situations that do not seem to glorify you. And then we do not pray so much that you change the world, Father. But we do pray, work in us by the power of your Spirit. Teach us to know you as our Father in the way we should. Teach us to believe that you are almighty and you are good and gracious and you will always care for us just as you promised. We pray this afternoon again for our theological seminary in Canada. We pray for a blessing. And we thank you that we may support this work in so many different ways. We pray that through the work of training, the gospel may be preached so that your churches may be built up. We also pray this afternoon for our civil authorities. We pray for our King, Charles, in England. Grant that he may follow the example that was set by his mother, so that Charles, too, may set an example of modesty and dignity, which is fitting for those who represent you. We also pray for our governments in Canberra and Perth, and we also pray for our local government here in Rockingham. Grant to the men and women involved what they need so that they may govern in such a way that we continue to serve you in peace and freedom. Now bless us through the preaching of the gospel. Work in us by your Spirit so that we may be encouraged to live as your children in the obedience that comes from faith. Hear our prayer and bless us. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we now have an opportunity to serve the Lord with our thank offering. The collection this afternoon is for the work of Eucalypt, and afterwards we sing together at Psalm 4, verse 2 and verse 3. Brothers and sisters, let's go to our Bibles and let's read together, first of all, from the first letter of Paul, Paul's first letter to Timothy. We read the opening few verses. 1 Timothy 4. First Timothy 4, we read from verse 1. We read this in connection with Lord's Day 9 of our catechism. In Lord's Day 9, we deal with the confession, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now we go to the letter to the Hebrews. We read from Hebrews 11. We read the first three verses. Hebrews 11 from verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So far our reading from the word of God. This afternoon I preach to you the word of God as we confess it in Lord's Day 9 of our catechism on page 525. Page 525 in our book of praise. Under the heading of God, our Father in our creation, the catechism asks, what do you believe when you say, I believe in God, our Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? And we confess together in response that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and all that is in them, and who still upholds and governs them by his eternal counsel and providence, is, for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father. In him I trust so completely as to have no doubt that he will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul, and will also turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this life of sorrow. He is able to do so as Almighty God, and willing also as a faithful Father. So far our reading from the Confession of the Church. We now listen to the preaching of the gospel, and afterwards we sing together Psalm 139. Psalm 139, the verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. Psalm 139, the verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, no one can really understand why Dad is so important. Of course, there are some obvious reasons. For example, already before we went to school, we could go camping into summer, or maybe not, depending on if and when Dad had holidays. Moreover, we could go out with the family and we could do fun things when Dad was in the mood or when Dad had time and money. Of course, we would all agree that Mum was important as well. Often, when we had problems, or when we just needed to know that we were okay, we would talk to Mum, and she could help us. For many of us, it was easier to talk to Mum than to Dad. But by God's design, there is an important difference between our Mum and our Dad, brothers and sisters. There's a difference because God is our Father. God calls Himself your Father. And what does it mean that God is your Father? How can you understand what it means that God is your Father? Well, to help us understand what it means that God is our Father, God has given us an earthly Father. Indeed, God gave you a dad. And God said to you, look at your dad. Think about how much your dad cares for you and what your dad does for you. Learn to understand your dad. And when you know him properly, you'll also know me. And of course, dads, this makes our job very important because we can talk to our children about who God is, and it's important, but how we live and how we behave as fathers, that is the primary way by which we teach our children who God is. God uses ordinary dads. Dads who are older and more serious. Also dads who are younger and more fun. God uses dads with long hair, short hair, or no hair at all. God uses dads who are engineers and carpenters and teachers and businessmen. God uses dads to teach his children what it means that he is our Father. And now, of course, beloved congregation, of course, no earthly dad is perfect. No earthly dad will ever know exactly what his children need. And even more, no earthly dad has the power to change his children like our Heavenly Father has power to turn the hearts of his children, regenerating us, renewing us. And for this reason, dads, we must pray for the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and also to work through us, so that we give our children an accurate impression of what their Heavenly Father is like. I preach to you this afternoon the gospel of your salvation under the following theme: Our Heavenly Father keeps us and our children on the road to his perfect and eternal blessing. And we will see this afternoon that this promise is based on God's work of creation. This promise is guaranteed by God's work of redemption. And this promise is brought to completion by God's work of sanctification. Our Heavenly Father keeps us and our children on the road to his perfect and eternal blessing. We will see first that this promise is based on God's work of creation. Lord's Day 9, brothers and sisters, answer 26 begins with the confession that God, out of nothing, created heaven and earth and all that is in them. That sounds very impressive. And so this afternoon, I could describe for you the immensity of the universe, or the complexity of a molecule, or the miracle of an unborn baby developing in its mother's womb. I could preach to you about mountains and rivers and the beauty of nature. I could also talk about the coronavirus, so small that we cannot even see it with the naked eye, but so powerful that it could stop the whole world. When we talk about these topics, it does not take long before someone remembers the words of Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And this reaction, brothers and sisters, this reaction to what we see in creation, this reaction where we say, wow, because we are so impressed by God's self-revelation. On one level, this reaction is a very Christian reaction, because the words glory and glorify and glorification, these words all really mean wow. When we glorify God, then we think and we say, wow, how spectacular, how almighty, how unbelievable. But on the other hand, brothers and sisters, when we say wow about God and about God's glorious work of creation, how is that different from saying wow about Pat Cummins and the Australian cricket team? Or saying wow about the Brisbane Lions, or Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft, or Elon Musk, who was the richest person in the world? There are so many people who have done impressive things, so that whether we wanted to or not, we responded, wow, and we gave glory to them. The glory of the God of the Bible, on the other hand, is totally different, brothers and sisters. And we notice that when we think about Hebrews 11, the short passage we just read together, the first three verses. In verse 3, the apostle said that the universe was framed by the word of God. We read that and we are inclined to move on, because we know that already God created or framed the world in 6 days. That's right. But listen up, brothers and sisters. In Hebrews 11, the point is not God's creative power or genius. Instead, that word framed in our Bible translation, as in the worlds were framed by the word of God, that word framed we also find in Matthew 4, when some fishermen had broken nets, and those fishermen repaired their nets. Indeed, God framed the world like those fishermen repair their nets. What does it mean? Well, those fishermen, when they repair their nets, they are not creating. They are not spectacularly making something out of nothing. Instead, they have this net in front of them, all these ropes tangled through each other. But some of these ropes have come loose. And so those fishermen, they are sorting through those ropes and they're carefully taking this one and tying it to that one. And this one has to connect here. Fishermen, they aren't just tying everything together. Instead, they are repairing their nets so that every piece of rope is tied in just the right place. And so we get a picture, brothers and sisters. Before God created the world, God planned the world for every one of his children. Because just like those fishermen took a rope and they tied it, not just to any old rope, but rather they decided carefully that this rope has to be tied to that one. In that way, God carefully created a place for you and a place for me to live in. Just like mum or dad might say, they might say, before our baby is born, we need to rearrange the bedrooms, or this bedroom needs repainting, or it needs new curtains. And dad and mum, they think about any clothes that they still need to buy before the baby is born. Dad and mum make all these arrangements. And so they create a place where the baby can thrive and grow up. And in the same way, says Hebrews 11, before God created the world, God also thought carefully about what kind of a world would be a suitable place for Adam and Eve to live in, so that with their needs and their abilities and their limitations in mind, God formed paradise. God said, this is the kind of home that would be suitable for these people. That is how God created the world. And now the point of Lord's Day 9 is, brothers and sisters, that this is the kind of father that God is. The implication is that before you were born, God did not look around for the most suitable place where he might dump you. God did not say, perhaps in India, in a Hindu family, or in China. God did not toy with the idea of putting you in Mexico, in a Roman Catholic family. God did not weigh up the options and conclude that this particular home in or near Rockingham would have to do for you, because there's nothing better. Instead, before you were born, God framed a place. God formed a place, especially for you. God decided what character you would have and what your needs would be. And God designed a place. God prepared a place specifically for you. God carefully appointed your parents. And God also chose your brothers and your sisters with you and your needs in mind. And then God even chose your neighbors and your teachers at school as well to suit your needs. God said, there in that family, as the youngest child perhaps, or right in the middle of the family, this is the right place for you. And then God put you in exactly that place. Girls and boys, do you understand what this means? Maybe sometimes you fight with your brother or your sister. Maybe sometimes you wish that your family could be different, that you could have a different brother or sister, or maybe even sometimes a different mum or a different dad. You might even wish that you would have a different teacher at school, a different elder or deacon. But my brothers and my sisters, God wants you to believe and to trust that He prepared your mum and your dad. He prepared your family and everything else in your life. He made it all exactly as you need, exactly as is good for you. It is necessary that every child and every mum and every dad believe this as well, because it happens quite often that especially mums feel that they are doing a lousy job. Many mums feel really guilty sometimes about the things they don't or cannot do for their children. They feel that they should be more patient and more loving, but they find it hard. And especially when mum looks on social media, when mum sees what some other mothers are doing for their children today, many mums feel discouraged, and they feel as if their children would be better off with a different mum. Then God wants mums to believe that God did not give her children by accident. Instead, dear mums, God carefully chose you because you are the kind of mother that your children need. Even if you have one or more special children with special needs, sometimes you might say to yourself, Father in heaven, why did you give this big burden to me? But again, Hebrews 11 tells us that God designed you as a mum, and God also designed your family as a special place for your special children. Then God gave you a special child because your special child needs a special mum. And so, in Hebrews 11, God speaks to girls and boys, and God also speaks to mums and dads. God speaks to every one of us, and He says, I created you, and I designed every aspect of your life. I also created this church community. I put all these people together into this congregation. I formed it as a congregation that is just right for you to be a part of. So, the place where God put you, the place where God put me, is just the right place for you and for me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. That means I believe that God designed all things and created all things. And yes, I am impressed. But much more than that, it means I believe that God did not make any mistakes. I trust that God carefully and lovingly created a place for me and for every one of us. Just like a bird forms a nest as a safe place for her babies to live in, God formed a place especially for you, especially for me. Believing this, we thank God and we confidently trust his promise that he will be with us and lead our lives day by day. In our second point, we will now see how God's promise to lead us on the road to his perfect and eternal blessing is guaranteed by his work of redemption. Now think about this, brothers and sisters. Since God created all things, and since God formed everything exactly according to his plan, why should we try to change anything? Especially in this world where there is so much unbelief and rebellion against God. God is almighty, and if he wants to change anything, he can. And that would mean, if God is content to leave things as they are, why should we get excited? Why should we try to change anything? I think, for example, about the attitudes that our society has regarding marriage and divorce, questions regarding sexuality, even the use of recreational drugs. If our society has attitudes that we believe to be wrong, we believe that God is almighty, God controls all things, and God never makes mistakes. And so, whatever happens out there, God wanted it to happen. So let's accept it. In fact, we might even believe that if we try to change some things, we are opposing God. Young people in the catechism classroom. Young people, they say to me, if our neighbours are unbelievers, it's not really our concern. If God wants to give them faith, he'll do it. It's nothing for us to get excited about. Let's just accept things the way they are. And on the one hand, brothers and sisters, on the one hand, John Calvin, in much of what he wrote, he seemed to support exactly such a passive attitude. Calvin often emphasized the fact that Abraham and David were strangers on this earth. We are foreigners. We are aliens. And what they do out there, that's beyond our control. And it does not really matter to us. After all, our citizenship is in heaven. And John Bunyan, the author of The Pilgrim's Progress, and many other Puritans with him, they also regarded this world and everything in this world as a meaningless exercise, where what matters is in our hearts and our eternal future in heaven. Calvin saw that the people of the Reformation were outnumbered by the Roman Catholics, and they were not being heard by the governments of the world. Calvin said, today we are powerless. Today the enemies of the church and the enemies of our Lord Jesus Christ are in control, and they are making bad decisions. We cannot change that. Instead, we just sigh and we wait, because one day Jesus Christ will come down from heaven and he will set everything straight. That is what John Calvin preached and wrote. But beloved congregation, Calvin said something quite different to the rulers of his time, to the kings and to the governors of the world. Calvin wrote many letters to the kings of France and England, and also to the Emperor of Germany, to dukes and princes. Calvin addressed the governments of the world, and Calvin told them, this is what God requires. Because, says Calvin, because God did not only create the world, right? God did not just create the world. Instead, after the fall into sin, God continues to uphold and govern the world as well. Even after Adam and Eve messed everything up, God loved the world, and God sent his Son into the world because God wants to restore all things. The bottom line is, brothers and sisters, our Father in heaven did not turn his back on the world. Our Father in heaven did not shrug his shoulders and say, I give up, I'm done, I'm going to let it go, let it rot. For example, in the time of Noah, God could have done precisely that. God could have left it the way it was, but no, God fixed up what was broken. And when the Israelites were in Canaan, when they were unfaithful, God could have left them, or God could have destroyed them. But instead, God sent his Son into the world to save the world. Indeed, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ came into the world not to condemn the world and not to just save a few individuals out of the world, but to save this planet. And this means, beloved congregation, there are many godless people in the world, and they have no respect for our God or for our religion. We can see with our eyes that the world is changing and going from bad to worse. But rather than shake our heads, and rather than writing them off as good for nothing, consider that this world still belongs to our God, and he still cares. And one day, our Lord Jesus Christ will come down from heaven, and he will purify this world, that all sin and evil will be removed. And then our Lord Jesus Christ will wipe away every tear from our eye, and then we will live with the Lord forever. The world that we live in, the world that gives us so much grief and worry, that is God's world, the world which our Father made, the world of which he said that it was very good. One day it will again be very good, and then we will live in this world with God and praise him forever. That is our second point. In our third point, we will now consider very briefly how God's promise to lead us to perfect and eternal blessing is brought to completion by God's work of sanctification. Now, you may have noticed, brothers and sisters, Lord's Day 9 refers extensively to the work of God the Father. Lord's Day 9 refers in passing to God the Son, but it does not mention the Holy Spirit at all. And that's okay, because the Holy Spirit really should never be the focus of our worship. Instead, what the Holy Spirit does is always focus our attention on Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is like a spotlight who always directs our attention to Jesus Christ. And wherever God works, Wherever God does anything in the world, or in the church, or in our hearts, wherever God works, the Holy Spirit is the power of God. Everything that God does through the Holy Spirit. So through the Holy Spirit, God focuses our attention on Jesus Christ. And this is also a question of faith, brothers and sisters. This is indeed the question that we must address this afternoon. Because, get this, through the preaching this afternoon, God declares to you that He is your Father. He declares to you that when He formed the world, He formed a special place also for you. Besides, God also promises you that He has never abandoned this world after we fell into sin, but He continues to uphold and govern all things. And now, having heard what God does, we must stop and we must ask ourselves, how should I respond to this gospel? We need to stop and ask ourselves, what will I do with this message? And again, I want to compare God, your heavenly Father, to your earthly dad. Some of you will remember when you first moved out of your parents' home. You thought, hooray, now I'm free. Now I can do whatever I like. I don't have to listen to my dad anymore. But a few years later, brothers and sisters, when we had grown up a bit, if we needed advice, we picked up the phone and we asked Dad. We said, Dad, what do you think? And when we get older, when our parents are not around anymore to answer our questions, many of us still ask ourselves, what would Dad say if he was here? Growing up, brothers and sisters, growing up also means growing to respect our fathers more. Growing to respect them in spite of their weaknesses. And in the same way, when we confess that God is our Heavenly Father, we would all agree that sometimes we simply have to obey His commands. Sometimes we simply have to obey. God says, you shall not steal. God says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. God says, and we must obey. Just like when Dad says, we must obey. And then it is the Holy Spirit who helps us to actually obey. It is the Holy Spirit who helps us to say no to our own desires so that we obey Dad instead, our earthly dad and also our heavenly dad. But sometimes it's not so obvious what we ought to do. Sometimes when we have problems or questions, there is no obvious answer. And then the Holy Spirit guides our hearts so that we respect our Heavenly Father and so that we go to Him for answers. Even when we are mature Christians, when we have problems or questions, as children of God, being led by the Holy Spirit, we go to our Bible, we open our Bible, and we look in the Bible for answers. The Holy Spirit drives us to respect our Father in heaven and to ask Him Just like when you have trouble with your dishwasher, if you have trouble with the remote on your television, the first place to look is in the manual, in the instructions provided by the manufacturer. In a similar way, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. The Holy Spirit gives us the insight and the willingness to go to the Bible and to look in the Bible for answers. Because God is our Heavenly Father and He has the best answers. And then the Holy Spirit also helps us to understand the Word of God and to apply the instructions of our Father to our own circumstances. Our Heavenly Father does not leave us alone to sort things out by ourselves. Instead, He upholds and governs all things, and He guides us by His Spirit to live our lives in service of Him. What a blessing it is for us to know that He cares for us and always gives us what is best. What a blessing it is to know that He loves us so much that He gave His Son to save us. And what a blessing it is for us to know that He continues to give us guidance in all the circumstances of our lives. Since we have such a Father, brothers and sisters, we are well provided for, well protected, and we really don't need anything else. Amen. Let's thank the Lord and pray together. Father in heaven, again we thank you that we may be your children. We thank you for the knowledge that you have made a place for us, and therefore you guide and protect us throughout our lives. We acknowledge, Father, that we don't know the future, and we don't understand what your plan is for our lives, and that does occasionally cause us some stress. This is because our faith is so weak. And so we pray, be with us and surround us with your love and care so that we may know ourselves to be safe and to be well cared for. We pray this afternoon, especially for the fathers in this congregation. Give them what they need so that they may show their children what it means that you are their father. We confess that it does happen sometimes that fathers are not a blessing for their children. Sometimes fathers cause their children pain, and then children can grow up with a twisted impression of you. Where this has happened, Father, and where we have a lot of hurt as a result, will you please take that hurt away? Show yourself to be a gracious and loving Father, and then grant that we may live as your children in faith and obedience, expecting all good things from you alone. Help us to know our place in this world, where the world belongs to you, but where the people of the world turn their backs to you. Help us to understand how we ought to live. Grant that we may love you first and foremost, and help us to live our lives waiting for the day when you will give to us everything that now already belongs to us. Indeed, it belongs to us, Father, because it belongs to you, and you are our Father. Father in heaven, today is a special day for us. For some of us, the beginning of the new week will be the beginning of a new church adventure. A significant number of us will be leaving Rockingham and joining the church in Baldivis. We pray for them. Continue to watch over them. Provide for their needs. Meanwhile, we also pray that you continue to give your blessing over us who stay here in Rockingham. Bless the work of our consistory. Give to Reverend Anderson what he needs week by week to prepare sermons, to teach catechism. Give to the elders and the deacons also what they need as they visit us in our homes, as they guide, encourage, comfort, and admonish. Father in heaven, whatever we do with sins and shortcomings. Forgive our sins, Father. Forgive also the sins that we have committed during this worship service. Hear us and bless us. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Brothers and sisters, our final song of worship this afternoon is Psalm 33, the verses 5 and 6.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, receive the blessing of your Lord and Saviour and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.